On page 740, Isaiah 53, I'm reading verses 1 to 9. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Our second reading is on page 988. Page 988, I'm reading Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 to 34. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they've been prepared by my Father. When the ten heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus stopped and called them. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. Lord, they answered, we want our sight. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Ali, for reading those passages for us. Do you want to keep Matthew chapter 20 open? We're just going to look at it together now, so you'd find it helpful to have it open there in front of you. Page 988. And why don't I pray for God's help before we look at that? Heavenly Father, we pray that as we turn to Matthew 20 now, that your word would be a lamp for our feet and a light to our path. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Who do you think God thinks is important? Who does God think is important? I wonder what you'd say. We know who the world thinks is important, don't we? When we look at the TV, we look at the news, we see the important people. We see kings and presidents. We see sports stars and celebrities. We see millionaires and billionaires. And these are the important people. And because we see that all of the time, it trains us to think that, yes, these are the important people. It trains us to think that if I'm to be important, I need to be like them. I need to have power. I need to have money. I need to have influence. And if I have those things, then I'm important. And so if I chase after those things in life, then I will find greatness. And we're tempted to think that God must feel the same way. Well, maybe we put a Christian spin on it a little bit, and we think, well, God probably doesn't think quite like that, but I'm sure that God thinks that the more important Christians are better. Maybe he thinks that famous Christians are more important, or successful Christians, or leading Christians, they're more important. But is that right? Does God think that way? Who does God think is important? Well, Jesus is going to show us this morning. And we're going to see that Jesus' way flips upside down the world's way. For Jesus, greatness is not serving ourselves, it's serving others. So let's have a look together at this part of Matthew's Gospel. Do open it up on page 988 and follow along. Here's the first thing that we see in this passage. We see false greatness, which is serving ourselves. And we're looking at verses 20 to 24. And let me read from verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." Now, not long before, Jesus had said that his 12 disciples would sit on 12 thrones on the day of judgments. But here we find James and John sneakily trying to get the two best thrones. They believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that's good, but they're seeking greatness for themselves, and that's bad. They're being self-serving. It's false greatness. It's not Jesus' way. And they seem to have forgotten all about the cross. Just before our passage, Jesus has predicted that he would be mocked and flogged and crucified. And so verse 22, "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink?" The cup is a picture in the Old Testament of God's judgment, his punishment. Jesus knows that on the cross, he will suffer as he drinks the cup of God's judgments. He knows that glory is coming, but he knows that it's the cross first and then the crown. And so he says to James and John, who are so keen to serve themselves, "Can you drink that cup?" "We can," they say a bit too quickly. Well, Jesus knows that, in fact, they will suffer. And so verse 23, Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they've been prepared by my Father." And as you read on in the Bible, you see James being killed for his faith, and you read about John being sent away to a prison island. Jesus teaches them that serving themselves is false greatness, and it's a lesson that the other disciples need to hear as well. Verse 24, "When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Their cross with James and John, but they're only cross because they didn't think of the idea first. They need to learn, and we need to learn, that serving ourselves is false greatness. We had an example of this in our country last summer. Do you remember when Boris Johnson had to resign as the Prime Minister? People had become fed up with the idea of a Prime Minister who was really serving himself rather than serving the country. And the news stories kept building. The Prime Minister had given lots of COVID contracts to his pals in the Tory party. The Prime Minister had bent the rules to let his friends off the hook when they got into trouble. And the government had broken their own lockdown rules by having parties in Number 10, and so on and so on. And eventually people got fed up and he had to step down. There was a sense that he was serving himself, which is false greatness. But it's a danger for all of us. It can be all too easy to think that we're serving Christ when actually we're serving ourselves. We think to ourselves, oh, well, I'd like to help out at church, but not if no one's going to see me do it. Or I'd like to help out, but only if it's something I find easy. I don't want to do it if it's going to be challenging. What does that say about who I'm serving? There's a Christian leader called Johnny Jukes, and earlier in life he worked for a church in London, and at times he and others would try to find roles for members of their church to serve in. And I'm told that when they did that, Johnny would ask the very helpful question, who are they really serving? Because there's a danger for all of us. It's the danger of false greatness, serving ourselves. Well, Jesus moves on, and he now shows us true greatness, which is serving others. And we're looking now at verses 25 to 28. Let me read from verse 25. Jesus called them together, and he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Jesus gently corrects his disciples. He says, that's how the world works, leaders serving themselves, but it's to be different in the kingdom. Not so with you. And you see this all the time in the world. I watched a brilliant documentary on Netflix a few months ago. It was all about the American basketball team, the Chicago Bulls. And they were incredibly successful in the 1990s because of this guy, Michael Jordan. He was their superstar player. But as you watched the documentary, you saw that sadly he was a very proud man and actually quite a bullying leader. And you see it at the moment in politics as well. At the moment, our deputy prime minister, this guy, Dominic Raab, he's being investigated for being a bully. And it's the way that non-Christians often use power. And verse 26, Jesus says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. The kingdom of heaven has opposite values to the world. The kingdom of heaven takes the world's values and flips them upside down. If you want to be great in Jesus' kingdom, you need to be a servant. You need to serve others. If you want to be first in his kingdom, you need to be a slave. You need to serve God carefully and serve other people. True greatness is serving others. And to do this, we're simply to copy the example of Jesus himself. Just have a look at verse 28. This is a very important verse. We're to serve others, verse 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. If anyone deserved to be served, it was Jesus. Jesus is the great Son of Man. The Son of Man is the person that the prophet Daniel saw in his famous vision. Daniel saw one like a son of man approach God himself and be given glory and power, and all the world worshipped him. That's Jesus. Jesus deserves to be served as king forever. And yet Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve. And he served in the most lowly way you can imagine. He gave his life as a ransom for many, to rescue many. We saw last week that Jesus knew that he would be mocked and flogged and crucified. But when he died on the cross, it wasn't a tragedy. It was a wonderful rescue. The Old Testament reading that we had earlier said this: he, and it's talking about Jesus, he was pierced for our transgressions, our sins. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Jesus came to die. He came to swap in for his people. He came to pay the price for our sins. He came to rescue us forever. The writer J.C. Ryle says about this verse, "This is the mightiest truth in the Bible. Let us take care that we grasp it firmly and never let it go." It was almost a year ago now that Russia invaded Ukraine. And just a few days into the war, the Russians were approaching one part of Ukraine with a column of tanks, a big long line of tanks. And they were going to cross a bridge to get into Ukraine, but the Ukrainian army wasn't very well prepared on the other side of the bridge. And so they prepared to blow the bridge up and to stop these tanks coming in. But there wasn't enough time to blow the bridge up and escape at the same time. And so one Ukrainian soldier made a very brave decision, and he detonated the bridge while he was still on it. And here he is. His name was Vitaly. And he blew up the Ganishkar Bridge, and he stopped the column of Russian tanks. And he gave his friends much more time to prepare and get ready for the invasion. And no doubt he saved many of their lives. Well, that soldier's sacrifice gives us just an idea of the much greater sacrifice that Jesus made when he died on the cross. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to pay the price to buy us out of sin and out of death. He came to rescue us for eternal life. It's wonderful. It might be that you're here this morning and you're not yet trusting in Jesus. Well, this is how you can be saved. You can't pay the price for your sins yourself. That's impossible. But Jesus offers to pay the price for you. And I pray that God helps you see that and turn to him. And for those of us who are relying on the cross, as we take communion later, let's praise Jesus again for what he's done for us. And let's learn from his example. Like it says on the screen, true greatness is serving others. We're to be great like Jesus is great. And that looks very different from the world. It's been a lesson, in fact, that evangelical churches have had to relearn over the past couple of years. There have been a number of scandals over the past few years where some very well-known Christian leaders have been shown to be bullies. Think of one small detail in a report about a famous church in London. And the report said that the church minister would get visibly frustrated with people in church prayer meetings if they stumbled over their words or if they hesitated when they were praying out loud. And really, that's just bullying. That's not being like Jesus. And I think churches have sometimes overlooked ungodly leadership because it gets results. Or at some level, it looks impressive. And so it's tempting just to overlook unkindness or bullying. But Jesus' way is different from that. His way is gentle. His way is humble. His way is serving others. It often doesn't look impressive. But in God's sight, that's true greatness.
it's serving others. And please do pray that I and the other leaders here at St. Mary's lead like him. Well, let's move on, because as we finish, Jesus gives us an example of true greatness. And we're looking now at verses 29 to 34. Let's pick it up in verse 29. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. So we're getting very close to Jerusalem now. And this was the time for the annual Passover festival, a big moment for Jews. And so lots and lots of people are making the long journey to Jerusalem. And Jesus would have been the center of attention in this big crowd of people. Well, verse 30, two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. No doubt these guys were begging, and they are very unimportant. They're dirty, they're poor, they're crying out for mercy. Verse 31, the crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. The crowd is totally uninterested in these men. They're excited to be around the celebrity, Jesus. Who cares about these beggars? But they are looking for the attention of just one man. And look at what they call him, Son of David. They recognize that Jesus is the promised king from David's family. They see that he's the Messiah, and they want mercy from him. Well, verse 32, Jesus stopped and called them. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. Lord, they answered, we want our sight. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. Now, if you're somebody who would say that you don't yet have a personal faith in Jesus, this is evidence that Jesus really is the Messiah. This is a supernatural thing that he does here. Matthew's writing as an eyewitness. Jesus really can give eternal life. But for all of us, this is an amazing scene. It's an example of true greatness. Jesus makes time for these blind men. His heart goes out to them. He's the center of attention in a huge crowd. His mind must have been on what was about to happen as he gives his life in Jerusalem. It would have been understandable if he just not noticed these men. I mean, imagine the scene. People are crowding in all around him. People are bringing autograph books for him to sign. There are reporters there. Jesus, Palestine Evening News. Are you excited about making your way into the big capital city? People are crowding around wanting selfies with him. A huge crowd all around him. In the world's eyes, this looks like greatness. He's made it. But he's not there to serve himself. Now, he knows that real greatness is serving others. And what we see here is a beautiful example of that. He has compassion on the men, and he heals them. I think of our mission partner, John. John did very well at Oxford University. He then got a really high-paying job in the City of London. And he left all of that behind to serve Jesus, and now he's in South Africa teaching church leaders to handle the Bible. And many of those leaders are very poor, and they live in corrugated iron huts in a township. And the world would look at John and they'd think, what a waste. He could have had it all. But Jesus looks at that and he thinks, well done. Who does God think is important? Is it the famous politician who throws his weight around and makes big decisions? No, God is far more interested in the single mum in Wheatley who turns to Jesus and prays, "Son of David, have mercy on us." Who does God think is important? Is it the archbishop in gold robes who loves appearing on TV? No, God is far more interested in the prison chaplain sharing the gospel with a few inmates. He's far more interested in the church member who slowly reads through a Christian book because they want to serve Jesus better. He's far more interested in the tired volunteer helping at after-school club because they want children to hear about Jesus. Jesus' way of greatness doesn't look impressive, but in God's sight, it is true greatness. Why don't we pray together? Lord Jesus, we pray that you would help us to see the world in the way that you do. Please keep us from thinking about greatness in the way the world does, but help us to see that true greatness is serving others. Help us to be like you, the Son of Man, who didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Amen.